the Eye on Football podcast. I'm Will Brinson. Ryan Wilson joining me. Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial of Squarespace and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBS Sports and use offer code FUN. Fun. Ryan Wilson, we are all about fun, aren't we?
Yeah, I thought the offer code was going to be FU, which also would have been fitting.
That's right.
But you added the N for the extra fun.
Like Frank Underwood. Do you watch House
of
Cards?
Nice, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't like how the second season ended.
We are in the middle. AKA, my wife and I we are like 3 episodes into the second season.
Oh, okay. I won't tell you the part about the asteroid hitting the White House.
Ah, I knew it.
Overall, fantastic show.
Yeah, it really is.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, it really is. Anyway, we mentioned that Squarespace is sponsoring us. We'll have more on that later, but that's pretty cool that we're sponsored. That's why we were off for like a month or whatever. The Super Bowl came. I had a kid. You got sick and nearly died in New York. A lot has happened since then. The NFL Combine came and went, and now we are fully immersed in franchise tag. We're about to hit free agency, franchise tag season, about to hit free agency, and then we're headed straight to the draft. It is further proof that the NFL, to some high degree of annoyance for our spouses, has no off season.
Yeah, I go to the bus stop every morning, drop my 6-year-old off, and my neighbors say, "So is the NFL season over?" I said, "Well, technically yes, but I mean, there's no end to this thing. It goes on forever, and that's how it's going to be. I mean, the draft is now in May. It's the first week of May to kind of stretch this thing out even further. So more stuff to talk about, even though there's really not more stuff to talk about."
Yeah, it's it really is. Like, it's stretched out. And like, people are like, "So what do you do, like, in February and March when the football season's over? You relax?" And I'm like, "No, I don't."
Yeah, right.
I have to. I start traveling. Like, I travel more during the off season than I do during the season. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk first about the franchise tags, because the franchise tag deadline, people are probably listening to this on Thursday or Friday. Franchise tag deadline was Monday, right? Is that right? Monday at 4. Life moves quickly these days. And when you look at the franchise tags, was anything particularly surprising to you?
Well,
besides the transition tag.
Nick Folk, but I think the most surprising thing to me was that Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, said they weren't going to use the tag on anybody. And technically, they didn't use the franchise tag. They used the transition tag on Jason Worlds. And more surprising than that, that's, I think, $9.75 million for 1 year is what that turns out to be.
Yeah.
More surprising than that, he actually accepted the offer a day later, which meant that no other teams could negotiate with him. So I suppose his agent thought that he wouldn't get that type of offer on the free agent market, which sounds suspect because I know a lot of teams are interested in him. I think the Eagles were near the top of that list. But
well, he's only 25.
25, yeah. And Lamar Woodley's going to be 29 going on 30, and he's always injured. So it makes sense. I'm glad the Steelers were able to find a way to keep him. And here's the – by the way, let me –
Wait. So once he signs the – I thought people could still negotiate with him. Once he signs a tender, it's done?
He accepted, yeah. So it's off. Huh. So the difference between the transition and the franchise tag is that the franchise tag, you have exclusive rights. If some other team tries to sign him, you get 2 first-round picks. Transition tag is you have 7 days to match whatever crazy offer.
Yeah, I knew that, but I didn't think that you
I
could –
I meant for the listeners.
Thanks, yeah. Sorry, no, keep going.
Oh, no, I was just saying, so the Steelers really had nothing, everything to lose and not much to gain by giving that transition tag, because you don't get any compensation if another team signs him and you don't match that deal. But, yeah, so he accepted less than 24 hours later, Jason Worlds did, which meant that no longer can any other team talk to him. So he is – now it's just a matter of working out a long-term deal, or he gets that $9.75 million for 2014.
I don't get why he would do that. I mean,
Right, exactly.
Why wouldn't you – because you can't rescind, as I understand, the transition tag.
Not now. The Steelers can't rescind it because he accepted it.
No. I didn't think they could rescind it anyway.
Oh, no, you can.
Okay, well, fine. Even if they did, he'd still be an unrestricted free agent in the market.
Right.
It didn't make any sense to me. Like, let yourself test the waters and see what – I think that's a harbinger of what's to come, in that we're not going to see a ton of action in free agency. I mean, if a 25-year-old linebacker who's coming off a strong season, granted in a system that's, you know, that is beneficial for him, doesn't think he can get more than $10 million. I don't know. That's crazy to me, man.
Well, I think right now he's like the second highest paid outside linebacker after DeMarcus Ware.
Because of the $10 million.
But if there were six teams interested in him, as had been reported, I don't know what the rush was either. I mean, that guy didn't even wait a day.
Yeah. Are you 100% sure he can't take offers now?
Yeah, absolutely, because all the Steelers beat writers were pointing that out immediately, and then they wrote about it the next day.
All right, there you go. All right. I was under the impression that when the transition tag, because the other guy who got the transition tag is Alex Mack, and I don't believe Mack has signed his tender yet, right?
No, I'm almost certain he hasn't, because there's really no leverage to doing so, because it's not like, you know, there's the fear that another team will have to give up two first round picks for you. They don't have to give up anything. They can just make a deal. PFT pointed this out. They've gotten rid of the poison pill clause, which is how the Vikings got Steve Hutchinson from Seattle back in the day. So
best Twitter name out there. Steve Hutchinson is poison pill 76. And I will say this about Worlds is that you sign that tag, right? You sign that tender, and it shocks the Steelers. Probably they're probably like, whoa, what are you doing? Why are you signing that? You do that, and you kind of force their hand into trying to give you a long-term contract.
They have to, right?
I mean, if they want to, because they're still $2 million over the cap at this point, as of like Thursday afternoon, and that's after reworking Troy Polamalu's deal and reworking Heath Miller's deal. What do you think about those extensions, by the way?
They don't get any more money. That just—I mean, this is one of those cases where out of taking one for the team, they just reworked their contracts to extend it out to 2016. I'm fine with it. I think. You know, people like to bellyache. This is the thing that bothers me with people who aren't as doesn't have such a love for the Steelers as I do on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, something like this happens, they immediately overreact and say, "Well, here's another example of the Steelers refusing to get young." Look, here's the thing: they went 8-8 2 years ago because Ben Roethlisberger got hurt after they started 6-3.
Yeah.
Last year, they had no offensive line and no running game through the first 2 months of the season. They finished 6-2. So the defense is awful. I grant you that. But it wasn't because of Troy Polamalu. He played actually really well last year. And Heath Miller was coming off a blowed-up knee at the end of 2012. And he still played relatively well towards the end of the season. So those aren't two guys that are the problem. I'm fine with getting rid of Ike Taylor or making him restructure or take a lot less money, which I think they're going to do. They cut three guys. Curtis Brown, who was a bust cornerback, a former third-round pick. They cut Larry Foote, who was old, and they cut Levi Brown, who they weren't going to keep anyway. So they have moves to make, but I think – as long as I'm complaining, things pop into my head because I'm old. USA Today, I don't know what's going on over there because they had Quickish, and they changed it to like a Q NFL blog, which is basically a blog like we do.
Yeah.
But some guy over there
– I kind of like what they're doing, but –
I don't get it. Why call it the Q blog?
I like the concept of what they're doing. I don't particularly. Yeah, I'm with you. Who was it? Was it Sobleski?
No, it was some guy whose last name was Ruiz, I think. But there's
Lorenzo Reyes.
No, I don't think so. Huh. I don't think so. I have to look it up. It was a Steelers thing. I was just looking over there real quick, and he said that the Steelers would be wise to just blow it up and start over. He was complaining about the Heath and Troy deal, but also he included Ike Taylor fine and probably Ben Roethlisberger. They shouldn't extend him. And to that point, I put on the brakes and said, okay, this guy is just smoking way too much pot. So the overreactions on Twitter are sort of funny, and we hear about this all the time, that the Steelers love restructuring deals into the future, and they're going to find themselves in salary cap hell pretty soon. But what no one seemed to account for, the salary cap went up 8% this year, so an extra $10 million. And if it kind of keeps going up 6 or 7 or 8% every year, it may not be such an awful strategy to like push these contracts out in the future.
That's true. Yeah, and because I mean, I think you look at the Polamalu contract, and all of a sudden he's got a 2016 cap hit of $8 million, which is a real bitch. I mean, that's not good. Like
cut him.
Yeah, but I mean, like he's still gonna have dead money against a cap or a cap hit against a cut. And they've said, I mean, they've made it clear with this extension, they're not gonna cut him. He's gonna retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler, right?
They're not going to come this year. I don't know if they said they were going to pay the rest of this money. It's not all guaranteed.
Right. Or maybe Troy Polamalu, they're like, basically, look, Troy, if you're going to retire, we need you to retire in the appropriate fashion before 2016. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. If the cap keeps going up and keeps expanding, suddenly you're not as tight. I mean, the Steelers were, before the cap jumped up to $133 million, were looking like they were in real deep doo-doo. Like they were next
after I think the Cowboys were the worst. Is the Cowboys, I think?
And then the Cowboys had the cap penalty too.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, people have been complaining about that for a while, and rightly so, and it had me worried. But I didn't count on the cap going up $10 million.
And I think Pittsburgh is in, you know, offensively the line has to improve, but it improved late last year. Le'Veon Bell,
Mike Munchak.
Your boy, yeah, that's right, Mike Munchak in town. I talked to Le'Veon Bell at the Super Bowl, actually, and did a video. You know, he really wants to be a he said he loves studying film, wants to be an analyst. That was interesting.
Yeah, well, just concentrating on being Eddie George first, then you can worry about the app.
But I mean, I thought that as the year went on, he got better and better. I think he's going to have a huge year. I think it'll help Roethlisberger. They got to, you know, keep the weapons in town. You know, but if Miller's back, Roethlisberger's always better when Miller plays. And the defense is, I mean, it's got LeBeau, and for, you know, as much as people like to lament what their issues are, I mean, Polamalu played really well. You're right. He played really well last year.
That defense does have a lot of work to do, though.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, like, they can get better. I don't think the Steelers are – I do have a problem to a degree with a team that refuses – that keeps mortgaging the future.
I did, too, but apparently it's not the worst idea ever.
Because
if the cap keeps going up, you know, it's 6-8% a year.
Yeah,
and it sounds like our buddy Joel Corey seems to think that it's going to increase.
It's supposed to be $151 million this year.
Said it will increase pretty substantially in these coming years because of the new CBA. It's less of an issue in my mind.
No,
because where's the downside? We've been talking about this for 4 years.
But is that the question? Where's the downside?
Downside to pushing all the money out into the future.
Well, the downside is if the cap remains flat, then all of a sudden.
But it's not supposed to because of the new CBA.
No. And that's the thing. And like Jonah Carey, who writes for Grantland about baseball, has pointed out when looking at some, because like these latest baseball deals, I mean, like some of the, like, and by the way, like you talk about these football deals pushing money in the future, these baseball deals are insane because they're fully guaranteed. These owners are throwing crazy money at, like, idiot, like washed up dudes like Vernon Wells, and you see these contracts, you're like, that's crazy. How can anybody offer that contract? But then what happens is baseball is getting ready to like see these new revenue streams kick in. They're going to have more money they have to spend. They're going to have more money they can spend, and they're bringing in cash galore. So suddenly it's not as crazy to be, like you say, to be pushing it forward. So yeah, but I still don't like mortgaging the future.
Fair enough. And to be fair, I think the Steelers got lucky because they were doing this well before the CBA was even decided upon in 2011.
Right. It's probably because the league loves the Steelers.
Absolutely.
All right. So anyway, that's one of our, two of our, so Alex Mack, actually, that's just our first transition guy. Alex Mack also got transitioned, as we noted, hadn't signed it, $10.04 million. And by the way, this is where I think I point out that it's really stupid how the NFL and the PA, when they do these tags, like, why – there needs to be more – like, offensive lines shouldn't just be one big tag.
Right
tackle needs to be less than left tackle. Center needs to be somewhere in between. I mean, they got to figure that out. Outside linebackers all have one tag, which is crazy because an outside linebacker who's a pass rusher is significantly more important. Like, you know, Brian Arakpo, I mean, he could be a defensive end. He should be a pass rusher designation.
Yeah, I don't know. It is weird, and this actually works into the Browns' favor because no one in the right mind is going to pay a center $10 million a year.
That's right.
So using the transition tag makes plenty of sense. They don't have to franchise Alex Mack. I don't think he's going anywhere. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect system, and players don't like it anyway because they don't want to be on these one-year deals and you get hurt, and that's it.
Also, I think with the Browns, so here's what you do for the Browns. You're like, all right, we don't really – like, don't tell anybody. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we're gonna let somebody else offer Alex Mack, and then we'll just match it, and that way we're not the ones negotiating.
Yeah, we haven't talked about, but what a clown show! I mean, we end up talking about the Browns anyway, no matter what the team or the podcast are doing. But I don't know how that team gets worse, but they manage to do it every time we talk.
They really do. Fortunately, they have the number 4 pick overall, and we'll get back to the picks in a minute. Nick Falk, $3.56 million for a kicker. I don't mind it because it's a low kicker cost, but it's still anytime you're franchise tag, I mean, I'd rather franchise tag my kicker than pay him whatever the Panthers paid Graham Gano.
Well, here's what's going to happen. They'll franchise him and sign him, and then Roger Goodell will do away with kickers, like in August.
That's exactly right. Brian Arakpo got $11.5 million franchise tag by the Redskins. I thought it was a smart move, mainly because he was going to get pass rushers hitting the open market are going to get paid. The Redskins weren't going to be able to bring him back. He's a homegrown pass rushing talent. You can't let him walk out the door for nothing.
Who? Arakpo?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Redskins fans are pretty upset by that.
I don't see why. They have nobody. They need defensive.
It's funny because I was talking to our buddy LeBar and Dukes back in the middle of the season when they just started stinking. The what station are they? 106?
106.
The CBS station in D.C. They're huge in the market. But anyway, that LeVar was saying how a lot of fans are really upset with Brian Aracma because he hasn't
106.7 the fan, yeah.
Yeah, hasn't played extremely well. But he was coming off an injury, and he got hot towards the end of the season. And yeah, that defense sucks, so it makes a lot of sense to keep him. I think he's another young guy, outside linebacker, and as you point out, he can get to the quarterback. So you got to start somewhere, and I think bringing him back makes a lot of sense. They brought back D'Angelo Hall for, I think, a 1 or 2 year deal. He somehow played well last year. I don't know how that guy survived. He's like a cat. But the defense needs a lot of work.
Yeah, it does. But you got to start with the pass rushers. I mean, that's where you start by building your team. So, I mean, ideally, you work out a deal with them and say, look, the problem for him is you're starting at $11.5 million. Greg Hardy, another no-brainer franchise tag, $13.1 million. That's a lot of cap. Yeah, but the Panthers now have like 20%+ of their salary cap invested in pass rushers, but that's better than 20%+ invested in running backs, right?
You know what? I was on the CBS Charlotte radio station earlier this week, and they're like,
are you just doing every radio show?
Or what's his name?
D'Angelo
Williams.
Yeah.
I was like, for what? They could trade him, but they're going to get like a 6th-round pick for him and have to take a large cap hit to take those guys. Yeah. But yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's not happening. Is what the answer? I mean, like Stewart, especially, like his cap structure, his contract structure would like he's literally almost untradeable. I mean, like you can't
without,
like
it's a no trade clause without having a no trade clause.
Yeah, I mean, like if they traded him, the Panthers would get like $14 million in accelerated dead money or something like that. I mean, it's just not doable. Dave Gettleman is very cap conscious and wants to make sure the Panthers are in good shape now and in the future. And so, I think if you're looking at Greg Hardy, that eventually they work out some sort of deal with him, some sort of long term deal. The problem for them, and this is kind of good and kind of bad, is that the Panthers are negotiating with Drew Rosenhaus for Greg Hardy's contract. Well, yeah. In order to do Greg Hardy's contract, they have to rework Charles Johnson's contract. And Charles Johnson's agent is Greg. Yep, you got it, Drew Rosenhaus.
Okay, I don't know. I thought it was rhetorical. Hey, by the way, let me ask you this. Our buddy Jason Lockefort reports that Colin Kaepernick doesn't want the $18 million that our buddy Ben Volen originally reported. He wants more like $20 million a year. So he'll probably get it, and I'm fine with that because you're not going to do anything with a quarterback. And if Jay Cutler and Tony Romo are getting that sort of money, you can't say no to Colin Kaepernick. But where does that put Cameron Newton when that conversation comes up?
Well, Cam's interesting because Kaepernick obviously was a second-round pick, so he doesn't have the fifth-year option. Cam, first overall pick, does have a first-year option. I think it's May 3rd is the deadline for activating those. 100% chance that Cam – I mean, I'm surprised the Panthers haven't already done it, to be perfectly honest, because the fifth-year option is going to be cheap. So it's not going to be hard for these guys to activate to accept the fifth-year option. I know that there's an article from Jason Cole at Nash NFP where he was kind of ripping guys ripping the PA because they had this fifth year option. It's kind of hurting the players. Julio Jones and AJ Green and Cam Newton can't get paid because of that extra option. The teams are being calm about it. I think ultimately the Panthers will pay Cam basically a dollar more than whatever Kaepernick gets. Does that make sense?
Well, they might offer him that. I don't know if he'll take it, especially a year later. Number one. Number two, Jason Cole needs to settle down because Cam, AJ, and Julio were top five picks. I'm guessing they did all right with their first contract.
That's right. Yeah, they got more. I mean, but the point is, this is true, is you would rather be drafted at the top of the second round than drafted at the bottom of the first round.
Well, that's fine. But listen, it's not like Andy Dalton's going to be banging down doors getting his money either. Right. He's entering a Joe Flacco situation without Joe Flacco's ability.
Yeah, just got to win that Super Bowl, Andy.
That's right.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, like, it stinks if you're a –
I get that. But, I mean, let's not overreact about the whole thing.
No, I don't have much sympathy for Cam Newton either. He's doing quite well for himself. Just saying.
What is Andy Dalton going to command, quote unquote, on the open market when he definitely hits the open market in 12 months?
I mean, look, here's the thing is that – so you – If you're an agent, if you're Andy Dalton's agent, and I have no idea who Andy Dalton's agent is, I'm assuming it's like Andrew Whitworth or somebody.
Yeah, somebody over here.
Yeah, exactly. Carrot Top. Hey, Marvin.
He brings his little treasure chest to the meetings and does all these prop jokes.
All right, now you gotta remember, too, that this is the Bengals, so it's a different story. Negotiating with Mike Brown is different than negotiating with whoever. But typically speaking, the agent brings this big book with a selling point on why you should pay Andy Dalton. Well, when you break it down and you go full-blown optimistic on Andy Dalton, it looks really good. Now, he doesn't have any playoff wins, but he's been to the playoffs a bunch. He's
one touchdown, six interceptions in those games.
I know. But you don't have to mention that if you're the agent, and the Bengals will counter with that. And then the agent will probably say something like, so what are you going to do if you don't pay Andy? And that's the thing. It's like he's got to get – I mean, doesn't he have to get, like, something in the range of Jay Cutler money?
Here's the thing, if you're Mike Brown, what you say is, you remember back in 2011 when Carson Palmer threatened to retire, and we said, go ahead and do it, and we'll just sit here with our arms crossed?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. And no one anywhere is going to argue that at that point, Carson Palmer wasn't the quarterback that Andy Dalton is.
No. You're saying Carson Palmer is better?
Yes.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, before he tore his ACL against the Steelers in the playoffs, was like a top five quarterback.
So they're not even going to do a double take when Andy's agent says something like that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, okay.
Maybe they just,
let's see how this works out for
Mike Brown slides another $10 bill across the table and just stares at the agent.
There's no way he gets $15 million a year, is there?
I bet so. I mean, like you just said, the salary cap expanding. That's you got true. More it's money to relative. Spend. You got to have a – if you don't have – I mean, like, they have – I know it's because of their – they have tons of weapons, and the quarterback is the one thing they don't have, like a lock job quarterback. But you have to pay the quarterback. Now, having said that, I look at that Colin Kaepernick situation. And I don't know if you – do you read the – Eric Edholm was at
what did he say?
He was at some pro day where Jimmy Garoppolo, the Eastern Illinois kid who's like the draft pick favorite. You know, he's like mm-hmm. a second round – it's similar to Kaepernick in the sense of where he stacks up in terms of quarterbacks in the draft. So Harbaugh goes to Garoppolo's pro day and he works him out and he's throwing with him and he's spotted and he talks about it. And you wonder if you're the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick is a stud, all right? But you wonder if you're the 49ers, would you consider drafting a quarterback in the second round? Because you're pretty stacked at other positions. And let's say you love Garoppolo and you think he can be a starter. Do you draft him and then you got 4 years of him for nothing and let Kaepernick walk and see what he can get?
If you draft him, Kaepernick's probably going to walk. So you can do that, but you have to do it with the understanding that if Garoppolo sucks, you're in a predicament.
Right. And I just think that, I mean, I'm not advocating for this strategy, but I think it is an interesting one because the investment cost – you know, there's the opportunity cost of losing a second-round pick. That's a big one because you can get some real talent in the second round.
Especially, that's a huge cost.
But all I'm saying is, like, if you could – you know what I'm saying there. Like, if you could develop quarterbacks –
you're trying to hedge your bets.
Yeah, and just, you know, because maybe
that costs too much.
Does it cost $18 million a year?
I don't think you do it. You just stick with Colin. And say if you get something, something to help him with that second-round pick, just pay. You got to pay the guy anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You can save a ton of money there.
Yeah, you know, you'll end up with Andy Dalton, and then what?
That's right. I'm not saying they should do it. All right, last franchise tag, Jimmy Graham.
Oh, wide receiver. Like, he's the last guy, yeah. He ain't signing nothing.
No, and in fact, as all reports indicate, and I'm sure this is accurate, that Jimmy Graham, Jimbo, will be in the PA, and his agents will be filing a dispute over him being franchise tagged as a tight end. I don't blame him. I mean,
he wants to be a wide receiver. Do you have the numbers in front of you? I think $7 million for tight ends. What is it for wideouts?
Oh, it's 11. No, it's over 12 now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge difference. $5 million. I think that ultimately you're going to see a situation where they file the grievance. Here's what's going to happen with the Saints and Jimmy Graham. It's the exact same damn thing that happened with Drew Brees. Is they put the franchise tag on and they pissed off the player. They spend all summer back and forth. Jimmy Graham's getting pissed off. Quotes Tom Benson is being weird about saying, we got to have Jimmy Graham and Mickey.
Loomis.
Say Mickey Rooney. Mickey Loomis is saying, yeah, we're doing what we can. Sean Payton's like, we really want Jimmy back. And then the day before the deadline to sign into a long-term deal, they will announce a long-term deal. It'll be July 12th or something, July 11th, July 12th. Oh, no, July 13th. That was the day that they signed the Drew Brees contract because there were 2 days coming up. Brees was under the franchise tag. He was furious about it. They gave him the biggest deal ever. And I don't get why you don't just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, the real losers here are us. We have to write about it every day, even though it's not news.
That's right, yeah. It's like, yeah. And that's why I'm going down to this bachelor party during free agency in New Orleans to investigate this Jimmy Graham situation.
Undercover.
That's right. Do you think Graham should get tagged as a wide receiver?
Doesn't matter, because they're going to give him a long-term deal. This is just, it's like you said, it's a lot of time wasted. Just give him a long-term deal. Let's get on with it.
I mean, like, yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. Your Twitter handle says you're a tight end. Your position says you're a tight end. You claim to be a tight end. And I'm sorry they split you out in your talents. You don't have to block, Jimmy. So that's a nice thing for you. You're not a blocker.
What does the highest paid tight end make? Who is that?
Vernon Davis, I believe, is the highest paid tight end.
Oh, okay. What's he looking at? Because, I mean, it's going to be a lot more than that for Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, let's see if I can. Is Vernon at the time was the highest paid? Oh, no, Gronk probably.
Oh, right. Wait, yeah, Gronk, was his deal, was it a huge deal?
Vernon signed a 6-year, $42 million deal.
Yeah, that's, he's going to want more. He's going to want.
That was 2000. That was 2000. Hell yeah. Okay, Gronk's a 6-year, $53
million. Oh, that's a lot of money. Okay.
Yeah. But remember, they were buying out a lot of years and trying to.
I have to pay this guy $10 million a year. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Just a reminder that today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace is constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, and even better support. They have beautiful designs for you to start with and all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business. When I started reading about this, Ryan, I couldn't help but think of when we used to do the Fan House Podcart.
Burning Down the House was the original name, and that got nixed.
That's right. That was a good name. And then it was me yelling, "It's Buzzcast!"
Yeah. That's one of my highlights of my internet career.
But remember, we purchased fanhouseradio.com.
And created
a website. We were like, "This is going to be, it's going to ball out. You know, we're gonna make this cool website. Fanhouse will buy it from us, or we'll just, you know, give it to them. And then, it'll be links. Like, this would be the radio spot, and we could run this. And then, even before Fanhouse could collapse, we made a crappy website, and the people that were in charge were like, "This is stupid. Please stop giving us this free this free revenue idea."
So what are you saying?
I'm saying I wish we'd had Squarespace, because we could have created our own website. It's incredibly,
we'd be millionaires by now.
I know. It's incredibly easy to use, and they have a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week help team. Support team, 100 employees in New York City in a place called the Care Bear Lair, which is weird and comforting at the same time. $8 a month to get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. I actually wish I'd done this instead of going for WillBrinson.com with GoDaddy, but whatever. And every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website, so the content will look great on every device every time. That's Squarespace. So moving on to free agency. Seamless transition. When you start to look at these teams and the markets are going to unfold, do you think we're going to see more activity than we saw last year because of this open cap?
No. Listen, here's what happened 4 minutes into free agency last year. The Dolphins gave Mike Wallace $400 million, and he promptly sucked. I need to go back and look at all these guys that are signed hours after free agency begins and see how bad of a career they ended up having. At their second or
Haynes,
third
start. Haynesworth, remember Haynes?
I mean, you talked about it with Jason Worlds. Clearly, he signed that deal for some reason. It probably had a lot to do with the interest not being as much as maybe we thought it was going to be. So I think it's going to be a little slower. And it may be slower in the sense of in terms of guys getting big money deals, but we may see a lot more moving around with more moderate deals.
Yeah, I think so, too. And when you start looking at the class out here, so, you know, Jimmy Graham is franchised. He's not exclusive, by the way. You didn't mention that. Would you trade 2 first-round picks?
Absolutely not.
Regardless, it doesn't matter what team you are, right?
They were meant, like, the Packers were rumored, and not even.
Please, Ted Thompson's
speculation, and also the Patriots. Either one of those interest you?
Well, the Packers were rumored because they need a tight end. Ted Thompson
apparently really badly.
Ted Thompson wouldn't give up a 4th-round pick for Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's not doing that. And look, Ted Thompson values building his team through the draft. I think the Patriots are interesting if only because they're a total wild card. And if they think that, you know, they can give – I just can't imagine them giving up two first-round picks. But have they really nailed their picks recently?
No. No, they haven't. It would be hilarious if the Browns did it with the fourth pick in the 20th.
Well, see, that's the thing. You have to be a team with plenty of cap space so you can sign Jimmy Graham, right?
The Browns are.
Yeah, but you have to be a team that is guaranteed you're not going to give up a top five pick.
The Browns are not.
The Browns are not, exactly. So you got to be a team that you feel comfortable for the next 2 years you're going to be in that top spot. By the way, the Patriots, Chandler Jones, good pick in 2012, first-round pick. Took Nate Solder the year before that. Jamie Collins in the second round this year.
Not bad.
Yeah, they've been all right. I mean, they're, you know.
Yeah, but the totality of the drafts have been pretty crappy in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't, but I just think if you're the Patriots, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but the.
No, absolutely. No. Listen, Tom Brady needs wide receivers, so you draft two of the best guys you have based on this extremely deep wide receiver class. There you go.
Those guys can't learn their routes and everything right away.
They wanted Emmanuel Sanders last year. They signed him to that kind of half-assed deal. They can sign him for real now if they want to. Hakeem Nicks seems like he'd be a perfect fit for what they want to do.
That's true.
I think Eric Decker is going to be garbage. Would you pay him $8 million a year?
No, absolutely not. And that's the thing. So we start looking at, like, if you're Eric Decker and you start looking at this wide out free agency class, there's no – I mean, Eric Decker – would you rather pay Eric Decker or pay Mike Wallace?
Ugh.
And I'm talking about Mike Wallace before last year. Before last year, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Wallace. But here's something that just occurred to me. What about Kenny Britt to the Patriots?
He did go to Rutgers.
Number one, right. And he's a head case, number two. Two of the things that Bill Belichick loves most.
I tell you, I mean, a guy I like out there on the market is that I think somebody's going to get for cheap, and he's our number five rated wide receiver, is Hakeem Nicks. Immensely talented, hasn't always been able to stay healthy, had a horrible, horrible, horrible contract year last year to hit the market. I mean, if he blows up, if he has 1,200, you know, he'd be the number one wideout if he'd had a big year last year.
Yeah, no, I mentioned him while you were taking a sip of your cough medicine there.
Oh, I didn't even hear you.
For Patriots possibility. And then Golden Tate says he also kind of makes sense, but he seems like he would go somewhere and not be as productive.
How is Julian Edelman the number three wideout? What the hell?
I don't know.
It's just, I mean, look, Brandon LaFell is number nine. I mean, it's just not a very – Ted Ginn is number 13.
Yeah, he is – the highlight of Ted Ginn's career is getting drafted in the top 10 pick.
That's right. Well, he had a big year last year. He had 800 receiving yards. Here's the thing on this wide receiver class. There's no sure thing. Decker might be a sure number two, but he's already 27. So what's he want, a five-year deal? You're going to pay him until he's 32? You know, I mean, like James Jones is 30. Edelman's 28. Golden Tate's 26. Hakeem Nicks is 26. Manny Sanders, 20. I mean, you're not like – these aren't exactly youngins hitting free agency. And if you have the deepest wide receiver class we've seen in a long time, these guys aren't getting paid.
You know, you are in bad shape in terms of being a wide receiver free agent when you are below Joe Webb on the free agency list.
Who is that?
Who's Joe Webb?
No, I know who Joe Webb is. Who is below?
I'm looking at the Roto-World. You're looking at CBS. Roto-World has Kevin Ogletree, Lewis Murphy, Josh Cribbs. He's out of the league, basically. Brandon Tate. Plexico Burris.
Does Roto World have autoplay videos? That was a joke. Because you see, when I'm trying to do a podcast, our autoplay videos are a nightmare. I'll go to Roto World too.
Oh, yeah, I disabled that. So,
yeah, I can't get it to work. Good God, yeah, Joe Webb is in play. Devon Bess, Brandon Tate with Plexico.
That's right. Still wants to play.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at this list. Running backs, running backs are terrible.
No one even thinks about running backs anymore. The combine, no one cared about running backs. The only time they cared about a running back is when he left early because God told them to.
That's right. And then Brodsky was on the plane with him.
I do love that Malema was wearing his uniform for the combine.
Just so nobody will know who you are. Ben Tate would be an interesting guy to grab, but I wouldn't want to pay him like anything resembling decent money.
No, it'll be the Browns supposedly liked him, but then they fired everybody. So who knows where he'll end up?
Michael Vick. What if he went to Minnesota? Would the Vikings be a playoff team?
Adrian Peterson thinks so, but listen, if he's healthy, he's not a back. He's a top 15 quarterback, I think.
Yeah,
he played really well in Chip Kelly's system, and North Turner has a knack for doing getting the most out of the quarterbacks. And I'm sure he was like, listen, I have a reputation for doing well with quarterbacks, but Christian Ponder's just too much. I can't even do that.
No, honestly, I think Vic would be an interesting signing in Minnesota, especially if – so, like, you're Rick Spielman and you're Mike Zimmer with the new – you know, you're a new head coach. Spielman understands that he gets one more chance at drafting a quarterback high, and that's it. If you're not sold on Bortles or Bridgewater or Manziel, then don't take him because this is your only shot, buddy.
Yeah, and I don't – I mean, Vic's probably going to want a lot of money, but if he's willing to sign a two-year
deal – I don't think he'll want much.
Who knows? I mean, you can never tell these guys. They gave Alex Smith a lot of money. What'd they give him?
And, Alex Smith got paid a lot, but he kind of had him by the huevos since they traded for him and then they signed him. Vic, if he's in the market, he's like, look, I got a choice of backing up Cam Newton in Carolina or.
Well, there's conversations that the Jets might be interested too.
Yeah, but I mean, my point being is there are not a lot of starter options out there. So if the Vikings will give you $12 million for 2 years when you already got all that money from Philly, why not?
They gave what's his name, Josh Freeman, $3 million just to stand around.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess you're probably looking at like $18 million for 2 years.
Oh, that's huge. I mean, but right, they do that even though at the expense of not wasting a draft pick on a quarterback. I think that's the most prudent move. And look, he's not bad, and AP helps, and also having Cordell Patterson and Greg Jennings helps a lot too. So he has guys to throw to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, look, Patterson is a stud. I mean, Kyle Rudolph, he can catch the ball. Nice guy.
I think if they get Vic, I would put them above the Lions.
I think the Lions
so unpredictable.
I think the Lions would be better, and I can't believe I'm saying this, under Jim Caldwell.
I just want to see. I mean, Stafford has to get better, and that he's the wild card. And Vic, we know what you got with Vic. So he can. There's some level of consistency there, assuming he's healthy.
I cannot believe you're calling Michael Vic consistent.
I know. I'm comparing him to Matthew Stafford, though.
When you look at the offensive line free agents, you know, offensive tackle is there's some decent names. This is a crappy free agency class.
People are talking about Eugene Monroe as the next coming to Orlando Pace. I don't understand that. He apparently wants a lot of money. The Ravens aren't willing to pay him that much money. I would let him walk.
Absolutely, they are letting him. Well, I mean, they need offensive line help. But I mean, like, it's who's talking about him as the next Calvin Pace?
Well, people are talking about. I said Orlando Pace. Who's Calvin Pace?
Oh, who's Calvin
Pace? Is the defensive end for the linebacker for the Jets?
Yeah, sorry. Who's talking about him as the next Pace? Picante.
It seems like on Twitter, people are confused as to why the Ravens aren't jumping all over Eugene Monroe. Because when I watched him last year, he struggled a lot.
The Jaguars traded him.
The Jaguars are first place team, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm sure part of the hesitation for the Ravens is that they're also losing Michael Orr. Mm-hmm. So they have no starting offensive tackles right now.
Yeah, it's a problem.
But just because you got rid of two average to below average doesn't mean you have to overreact and sign them, which they're clearly not doing.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, you're better off, like, if you're not sold on Monroe, don't give him $80 million. You know, when you go out there and you can sign
I mean, Brandon Albert doesn't make sense, but he's not going to come cheap either.
We're going to sign Velt here.
He's not going to come cheap, do you think? I mean, he's coming off an injury.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, would you rather pay Monroe or Velt here?
Oh, I think Velt here. And, look, there's, what's his name? Roger Saffold, who was good up until last year, and they got rid of, they didn't bring him back. So,
yeah.
I think there are options, is what I'm saying.
Deep offensive line class in the draft, too.
Yeah, and there's also that. It's Kevin Colbert said, it's the deepest draft he's seen in 30 years.
And the other thing And the other thing you can do is you can say, look, Eugene, go out, hit the market, man. See what's out there. Let me know when you don't.
You got my number.
let me know when you want to come back and talk about this $6 million a year offer I'm making you for 2 years or you know whatever it is. I mean, offensive guard, Jeff Schwartz, who's like a really nice guy on Twitter. I don't know if you follow him. He's a cool dude. Like, seems like a nice guy. I'm excited for him that he is considered the top offensive guard after, you know, because he was always kind of a utility guy with the Panthers and then with the Vikings and then landed with the Chiefs. And now he's, you know,
Any thoughts on Richie Incognito being ranked higher than John Jerry?
I mean, ouch. Jeez, man. That's I can't imagine that Richie Incognito Do you think he gets signed by somebody?
Not now. He would have had a job had he not lost his GD mind in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
The Ferrari thing?
Starting.
Yeah.
Once the Ted Wells report came out, even before the Wells report came out, I think he sort of went crazy on Twitter. That's when he suggested that Jonathan Martin try to kill himself.
Yeah.
Whether that's true or not, if you're looking for a job, you don't put that on Twitter. Then you beat the crap out of his Lamborghini, and then I think he was admitted to a hospital or something for help, right?
Yeah. Now he's in the hospital. I mean, you just can't go beating your...
It's Ferrari. Sorry, not Lamborghini.
Yeah. But you can't go driving... Like, he drives his Ferrari onto his, like, lawn and then beats it up with a baseball bat. And then you're like, oh, it's just venting, man. It's all good. I mean, that's not how it works, Richie. You have to... Like, you are in the public spotlight. You need to take it down about 45 notches.
I joked on Twitter that he thought he was getting a red Ferrari and it showed up. It was black and he went crazy.
That's actually a pretty good Twitter joke. When you look at the...
Thought it could be Magnum P.I.
I love Magnum P.I. personally.
Yeah, maybe he'll come out of the loony bin with a mustache.
I mean, the centers, like you got De La Puente is the number two. Dietrich Smith, Dominic Riolà just re-signed. Defensive ends is actually an interesting position because Greg Hardy's there, but he can't, you know, he's signed his tag. He's in Carolina. They could trade him theoretically, but he won't be hitting the market yet. Michael Johnson, Lamar Houston, Bennett.
What are they waiting for with Lamar Houston?
I don't know. The Raiders are letting Lamar Houston and Veltier walk.
And also Arthur Jones, who not a lot of people are talking about, but he's Chandler Jones' brother and Jason Jones, the MMA guy's brother. But he had a really good year, and he's going to get paid. I don't know where he's going, but he's going to make a lot of money.
Everson Griffin is a young guy. Jared Allen. Tuck is out there. He's a name. Red Bryant. Tyson Jackson's out there. I mean, there's some names. Defensive tackle-wise, Henry Melton, B.J. Raji, reportedly close to a one-year deal with the Packers.
The most depressing thing about that B.J. Raji deal is that the thing is for 1 year, $4 million last year.
They offered him $8 million.
And and for how long? It was $8 million a year, I think.
For like five.
A year deal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. He hadn't sacked the quarterback since 2011.
No, it's fine. He's a fat guy that plays a nose tackle on 3-4, but still, you can't be walking away from $8 million. What do you think was going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, you fire your agent is what you do.
Maybe Ndamukong Suh was his agent.
Sean Phillips is a top outside linebackers is a mess out there.
It is now. I mean, Arakpo's gone, Worlds is gone, and then it's all your buddy Orlando Pace. Now outside linebacker available for work, Calvin Pace.
Hall of Famer, Orlando Pace. And then inside, Carlos Dansby had a nice season. John Beeson bounced back once he went to the Giants. It wouldn't be surprising if Beeson maybe signed they got Kuechly there. I mean, I could see him maybe coming back to Carolina.
Yeah, I think the Giants want Beeson back, too.
Yeah. Daryl Smith had an all right season.
Yeah, they want him back in Baltimore. Yeah,
everybody
wants him. Carlos Dansby's like the biggest name, which is sort of depressing because he's old.
But he had a huge year last year.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, without question.
And the cornerbacks, Brent Grimes signed with the Dolphins, which I think it's so interesting. So Grimes voids Grimes is franchise tagged by the Falcons in 2012. Tears his Achilles blows out his Achilles in the first game of the season, misses the entire year. Is released. Signs a 1 year, $5.5 million deal with the Dolphins last year. Is ironically the only good signing by the Dolphins. Who had just a miserable free agency period, but they signed him because they were desperate for a corner late, and they stole him. Just a great deal, I thought, one of the best deals of last year. And then they turn around and overpay him immediately.
I don't know. You know, we see this every year. No one who goes crazy in the offseason generally does well, and it happened again last year. And part of the problem wasn't all on what's his name? Jeff Ireland got fired because the Dolphins just gave up the last two games of the year.
Right.
They lost to the Bills, and they lost another game they should have won. They lost to the Bills 19-0 in Week 16, and they lost the season finale to who I can't remember.
Champ Bailey is – they lost to the Jets in the season finale.
Oh, God.
They didn't score – they scored 6 points against the Bills and Jets.
19-0 and something to six.
Yep, it was pretty bad. But Grimes – I mean, I like Grimes a lot. The problem is he's older, he's injury history, and you're paying for like all the value you extracted out of him from last year is suddenly tied up into a 4-year, $32 million deal. So,
hey, what about Cortland Finnegan getting jacked by the Rams after they paid him? I think his deal was 5 years, $55 million. It was similar to what they gave what's his name and
Brandon Carr. It was like a dollar more than Brandon Carr, right?
And that was, what, two off seasons ago?
Yeah. It was, oh. Yeah, because Jeff Fisher's going to his third year in St. Louis. They signed Finnegan to a,
I'm guessing 5 year, 55, something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. What am I thinking Vic going to get $9 million? Vic's getting like $12 million a year. Corlin Finnegan?
Six sounded low.
Yeah, $6 million a year. It's crazy, man. The quarterback class is actually pretty good. All have questions.
It's not bad. I mean, I don't know where Tlaib's going to go. He's probably going to have to sign a short-term deal. Someone's going to overpay Werner, even though he's good. I would imagine Davis stays put in Indy.
Yeah. They didn't franchise him, though.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, they have a lot of money. So they probably, I mean, I'm sure they've given that some thought. They were busy signing DeQuell Jackson anyway. DRC's not going anywhere, I would imagine.
They got to bring him back. I mean, they just cut Champ Bailey.
DRC had a great year last year. Yeah. I'm sure Andy Reid was like, where the hell is that?
I know. He's like, thanks a lot, bruh.
Walter Thurman. There are some good names up there. I'm thinking clearly solely for the Steelers' purposes.
Derek Cox was not terrible. I mean, he was not great. I mean,
he was terrible.
He was pretty terrible, yeah. D'Angelo Hall re-signed 4 years, $17 million. Whew, that's not big
four
money.
4 years? God, that was like a 1 or 2 year deal. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, $4 million a year. And then Captain Munderland. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, Grimes is clearly better than D'Angelo Hall, but, like, the difference there, I mean, like, that's literally half of the contract.
Yeah, no.
It's crazy. And then,
safeties.
Yeah, safeties. Jarius Byrd. These are where the big names are.
T.J. Ward.
Two of the bigger names out there.
Yeah.
Byrd, and clearly at this point, just not simpatico with the Dolphins. I mean, the Bills. You know, they're just.
Yeah, he said he'd be willing to come back, but they haven't talked, and I think he's certainly he knows that he's getting paid either way, so I'm sure he's fine with that.
I mean, for me, if I'm Byrd, I'm like, look, man, you guys franchise tagged me when I told you not to. I held out.
And they just signed Aaron Williams, too.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we spent a year trying to negotiate. I want to be a top paid safety. If you don't want to pay me, I'm going to the free agent market. I played my season. I had a good year. You know what I mean? I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. So good for him. Hit the market and see what you get. I would think that Byrd will get paid. I think a safety in this market will get paid.
Yeah. No, we've seen what Earl Thomas can do. We've seen what what's his name can do in Kansas City. I can never remember his name. What's his name?
Eric Berry.
Eric Berry.
Scared of horses. I mean,
there's clearly important parts to how the defenses are sort of evolving with all this passing going on. And Byrd certainly fits that prototype. So it's like paying, almost like paying a cornerback, a big time cornerback.
Yeah. I mean, I'd find paying the safety. That's free agency. It's going to hit. This is kind of our preview of it. Brought to you by Squarespace. Did we mention that yet? We did. The draft, I mean, it almost seems like the draft. Do you like this May thing? I don't know if I like this May thing.
It's a week later, but I prefer in April just because I quit dragging this stuff out. I would like to not have to worry about some stupid rumor the whole year, you know, about some random guy doing this or that. By the way, what did you think of Blake Bortles saying yesterday that he doesn't understand why everybody did throw at the combine?
Good for him. I mean, he threw at the combine, so why not throw some shade, as the kids say, on by the way, did you see, I just saw this, Steve Smith is talking, he's doing, in ESPN, he's sitting down with ESPN in like a suit at the Clemson Pro Day to talk about Sammy Watkins.
Oh, someone asked him there about meeting with Gettleman, he didn't want to talk about it.
Well, good for him. He's going to be a good analyst, I think, once it's all said and done. All right,
That might be in 2 weeks.
That's right. It could be in 2 weeks. I think he'll play one more year. All right, let's take a little run around the NFL real quick. News and notes brought to you by Squarespace.com. You can start a free trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUNFUN to get 10% off and to show your support for Eye on Football podcast. We thank Squarespace for their support of the Eye on Football podcast. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. So, Ryan, looking around the NFL, we mentioned B.J. Raji, the Packers, close to a one-year deal. Are you surprised that Tennessee Titan fans are the most racist people in America?
So, Emory University did this Twitter study on 2 days shortly after Michael Sam announced that he was gay, just to see which regions of the country were most receptive and least receptive to Michael Sam's revelation. New York, not surprisingly, was the most receptive. Tennessee, Nashville area was least receptive. I don't know really what to make of that. I don't know if it's just the fact that Tennessee hates Missouri in general, because Missouri's new to the SEC. They are, aren't they?
Yes. I think it has more to do with to the people who live in Tennessee than anything.
Maybe that. I didn't want to come out and say it. But, you know, it was weird. Let me pull up the...
By the way, when Michael Sam came out, I'm pretty sure that there was a Sports Nation poll that asked
a map poll,
and like there was like one state in the entire country that was like anti Michael Sam. And guess who it was?
I was going to guess South Carolina,
Tennessee.
It was Tennessee. Okay.
People forget Tennessee. Tennessee has so many like mountains that they're very like just like North Carolina, like Western North Carolina.
It's different.
Well, it is. Like, it's more racist. And then, like, Eastern North Carolina.
So, yeah, it's funny because St. Louis, yeah. Kansas City were number 2 and number 6 on the most receptive list. And people pointed out that probably has something to do with being close to Missouri.
Right.
The school, not the state. Let's see who else on that list. Tampa, number 9, is most receptive. That's interesting because, I don't know, maybe it's all because it's all retired, mostly liberals.
Hmm. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Oakland at number 2 is the least receptive. I think that has nothing to do with the area and everything to do with the fans.
That's right.
Because Northern California is a pretty
liberal place. Yeah, yeah.
Green Bay and Pittsburgh were also the least receptive. I could see that. San Diego's sort of weird, but also, you know, Southern California is the same place where fans like to get in fights with sharp objects.
I just can't imagine like being you wouldn't get a ton of harassment from the media if you were in Green Bay, but at the same time you'd be very, I don't know, I don't think it didn't like, hey, want some beer and cheese?
Right.
I feel like Green Bay fans would be weird about it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. You could be. I mean, they're right down the street from Milwaukee, which is predominantly black, but it says nothing to being gay.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with being black. Anyway, well, let's move along before I say something stupid. So Brandon Browner suspended the first 4 games of 2014. How would you sign him, first of all?
No. You know what? He was supposed to be a first-round pick coming out back in, I think, 2004. I remember reading in, like, the old-school Sporting News magazine about how good he was, and then I don't think he got drafted. I think he had some off-field issues, went to Canada, and then Pete Carroll, as he has been known to do, saved careers. But outside of Seattle, he may not be the same player he is. Plus, he's 30, so...
A lot easier to play on the other side of Richard Sherman.
Yeah, and with Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor behind you.
Would you cut DeSean Jackson for the Eagles?
Jeff McClain was fired up about that.
Was he really? I love McClain's my boy. What do you have to say?
It's a stupid thing to be speculating about because it's not going to happen.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if they cut him. He's kind of their biggest deep threat, you know?
Yeah, and he's not bad. He's pretty good. So.
Well, I mean, it's like, all right, it's nice that they re-signed Riley Cooper. It's nice that they re-signed Jeremy Maclin. But all of a sudden, what happens when Jeremy Maclin gets hurt again and Riley Cooper gets punched in the face of a Kenny Chesney hauser? Then where
that's
are you?
Right. You've got to have someone to throw the ball to.
That's right. Then where are you with – no, but I mean, seriously, if you cut DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin got hurt and you're not, and all of a sudden you just have Riley Cooper, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's why they're not going to cut him.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, what else do we have here in the old Squarespace sponsored news and rumors update? Adam Vinatieri hates the extra point rules change. If it's not broken, don't fix it. What do you think about this 43-yard extra point attempt?
Oh, God, it's random. I don't
it's arbitrary.
If you want to make the field goals harder, just narrow the goalpost. Why do you got guys backing up to the midfield to try to kick a field goal that's worth 1 point?
Yeah.
I'm fine with narrowing field goals and at the goalposts and seeing what happens. Or you could just leave it alone because I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah, or just eliminate it. I mean, who cares? I hate when Gronk got hurt at the. I mean, like that's stupid. Like Gronk shouldn't. It sucks that guys are getting hurt blocking extra points when they go in every time. And like, make everything a 2-point conversion.
I'm fine with that too. Although that's what Adam Vinatieri is arguing against.
Oh, he is.
Well, he wants a job.
Wait, but see, he says he's like Adam Vinatieri doesn't understand the logic of moving extra points back to the 25-yard line. Quote: they're trying to minimize the importance of kickers. No, I don't think so.
Well, his argument is that if you can make it from there, obviously you're very good. But if you can't, that means it's going to be more 2-point conversion, so you're not going to have a job.
Oh yeah, I guess I could have read the post. I mean, 43-yard banging home 43-yarders on a consistent basis is not easy.
Yeah, you know, I think it was actually like 70-something percent, but they were making 99.6% for extra points.
Well, yeah, I mean, so, but if you put it on the, I guess from the 25-yard line, that's not that big a kick. I mean, if you do, 77's substantially lower. I mean, why not make it a 53-yard kick and make it worth 3 points, or you can go with the 2-point conversion?
That's not a bad idea either.
And then you could put the 4-point shot over in the corner
like MTV Jams.
Yeah, or like the NBA.
What's that thing called? MTV?
Rock and Jock, man.
Rock and Jock.
Yeah, buddy. The Bears.
Brought to you by Squarespace.
Sorry, presented to you by Squarespace. The Bears cut Devin Hester.
He's a free agent.
That's right. They're going to let him go. They're going to let him walk into the or run really fast into the open. Surprised? I mean, it stinks. He was a good.
Yeah, no, it's not a big deal. He wasn't much of a receiver. The best part of that is that our buddy Pete Prisco tweeted out, like all return people, Devin Hester just slowed down too much and they had to get rid of him. To which our buddy Michael Davis Smith responded, Devin Hester led the league in return yards last year.
I mean,
oh, Pete. But you don't bring him back. I don't care what he did last year because he doesn't do enough to help you, and they're minimizing the special teams anyway.
That's right. That's right. DeQuell Jackson, former of the Browns, is now signed with the Colts. Why are the Colts signing everybody from Cleveland? Stop doing that. Stop doing that, Andy.
Someone made a joke on Twitter, and I'm sorry that I can't give you attribution, but I don't remember who it was. But they said the Colts have signed another Browns player that won't be able to rush for any yards next year.
That's pretty good, actually.
But the 4 years, $22 million is a lot of money. We bellyached last year about the deals they gave to Francois, what's his name?
Ricky Jean Francois.
Ricky Jean, and who else? The safety, Landry, they gave a lot of money to.
They paid Gosser Cherilus. They paid
Gosser, yeah.
Who else did they pay? They paid somebody else.
And they traded for Trent Richardson. So, yeah, I don't know. They have a lot of cap room, which is good, but I think they could use it a little more wisely. I think, you know, DeQuell makes a lot of sense. He didn't rate out very well according to Pro Football Focus, not any much better than Pat Anger, actually. But he's healthy, which Anger is not.
Correct. Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm bearish on the strategy of the Colts for now. Sure. As long as they're winning games, you can't blame them.
So you're bullish. You're bullish. You're for or against?
I'm against. That's bullish.
Oh no, you're right. Bearish.
Yeah, bearish.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
No. I'm
with you. I agree.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. I wondered. I was like, wait. Do you like these deals? No, I think the deal it's questionable deals. I mean, just spending a lot of money. And granted, look, these are upgrades in talent. But just because you're upgrading, like, there are better ways to upgrade in talent.
No, I agree. I don't disagree with you. Here, all right, let me do one more and I'll ask.
Okay.
Who goes first in the 2014 draft held in May for some reason? Blake Bortles or Sammy Watkins?
Blake Bortles. Poppin' Bortles. I have them in my latest mock draft, which I'm unveiling to little or no fanfare on Thursday afternoon. I have Bortles going one to the Texans and Sammy Watkins going two to the Rams.
Oh, you do? Wow. I only mention that because a lot of people, it seems like, and our buddy Lance Erline in Houston, who knows a lot about a lot, he was the latest to mention this, that if Bortles doesn't go one to Houston, he could fall a good little ways.
He could free fall very quickly. When you start looking at it, so if you're Bortles, if the Texans don't take him, I mean, the Rams aren't going to take him, and at that point, assuming he doesn't go to the Texans, that means that they probably took Clowney, right?
Why wouldn't the Jaguars be interested?
They could be.
Or even number four.
I think it's this weird connection. That's why I'm going Bortles now so I can flip-flop later. But it's this weird connection that, like, Bortles is this prototypical passer, and that's what Bill O'Brien wants.
The Larry connection, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but, I mean, who doesn't want a prototypical passer? the Browns. I mean, and to me, the Browns. So there's all this smoke and Browns, like, you know, it's like leaked, like that the Browns never met with Johnny Manziel, and then like it's leaked like through multiple people that they like Derek Carr better. Like methinks thou doth protest a bit much, Cleveland.
Right. They should just say they like Mittens Carr.
That's right. Like we love David Carr more than Johnny Manziel. I mean, come on, like guys, look, we know you've seen Johnny Manziel play. We know you have an opinion on it, but you're acting like you hate him a little too much for me not to think something's fishy. So that's like totally like Cleveland, though. They would like backfire their smokescreen by making it too obvious. So I still have Manziel going to the Browns. I just think it, like somebody to energize the franchise. Bridgewater's there, too. Bridgewater, for some reason, people have gotten down on lately, leading into the combine and coming out of it because he didn't do a whole lot. We haven't seen him throw a bunch. But
I think it's complete media creation because we haven't seen him.
Exactly. And it's like he didn't have a great year last year and he didn't have that wow factor or something like that. So that's why people are – it's weird, man. I mean, I'm not saying it makes any sense. It's weird.
Right.
So you have Cleveland and Oakland who need a quarterback and Jacksonville. So 3, 4, 5. Now, those three quarterbacks could all go right there. But I think when you look at Jacksonville and Oakland for what Bortles, who is maybe kind of a project guy, like you don't he's not going to step in and start day one and just dominate, I don't think. Right?
Who, Bortles?
Yeah. Yes, Bortles.
Oh, well, if you're Houston, you got to bring him in there.
Well, you don't have to bring him in there.
Who's going to play?
You could bring back Matt Schaub, I suppose.
What's his name? I mean, he's still under contract, but I don't think you want to start with what's the guy's name from Houston?
Sorry, I had a Pomeranian break into the podcast room while we were recording.
She wearing a Blake Bortles jersey?
Yeah. What's that? You think? Oh, Blake. She thinks Blake Bortles won too. No, I mean, look, you could get Vic. You could get Matt Cassel.
Although, no, what's the backup's name from Houston that played last year?
Oh, Case Keenum, and then you got...
Keenum, yeah.
Also, you know, you have T.J. Yates, who they apparently hate now, don't love.
Yeah, no, I think you roll with Bortles. Keenum played okay last year, but he's not a guy that's going to do anything more than Bortles would do anyway. And that's your guy, you go with it. I'm getting off topic here. We'll wrap this up quick because I go to the bus station. But I like the idea of taking Clowney, if they truly like Clowney, and making him a 3-4 outside linebacker.
I do, too. I think Clowney is by far and away the best player in this draft. And if you have an opportunity to get a game-changing defensive player and pair him with J.J. Watt, you can worry about the quarterback later. You can find a guy out there.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because I firmly believe you're not going to win anything with a quarterback.
No, I don't
mean
it.
If the Texans think he's the best player, you're taking.
What I'm saying is unless you think that Blake Bortles is a true, quote-unquote, franchise quarterback.
Right, that's right.
And that's the question. And I think that when you look at a team like Jacksonville and Oakland, they have so many other needs that if a player like a Greg Robinson or a Khalil Mack, a game-changing pass rusher or a Clowney is there, or Jake Matthews, somebody, they can beef up other positions, that they'll steer away from a guy like Bortles. So then you have a situation, I don't see him going to Tampa, although they could consider it. Certainly not Atlanta. Minnesota is a possibility. No Buffalo, no Detroit. Maybe Tennessee, no New York, no St. Louis, no Chicago, no Pittsburgh, no Baltimore, no Dallas, maybe Jets. So, I mean, you have a chance where Bortles could fall.
Someone's going to trade up. He's not going to get down to 15.
No, I don't think so either. But, I mean, like, he could easily fall into the 15-ish, the 10 to 15 range.
That'll be interesting. That'll be a story, at least.
Yeah, that's right. Fun stories. And we can talk about that later on our next podcast. In the meantime, make sure to subscribe via iTunes. Thanks very much to Squarespace for sponsoring the podcast. For Ryan Wilson, I am Will Brinson. We will talk to you guys soon.